This is not just a talk, this is revival preaching.
Amen.
Are you all ready?
I don't know if you want to get inside.
Praise God. Deborah set a good start with about holiness. We will continue on the track of holiness, because that is what God wants to do at the moment. We talked a bit about that this morning. For those who weren't there, that is fine, because I will use some of the scriptures from this morning as well. But I will start in, just to clarify at the beginning, so holiness, holy. We're set apart people, and Deborah brought something, and I heard something yesterday. God was saying, as a holy people, we have direct access to God. Direct access. Because we have been cleansed, there's no sin, there's nothing holding us back. So as holy people, we have direct access to God, right in front of him. Also, to make it clear, a couple of weeks ago, and even Pastor Richard picked up on it, on the greatness of who God is. Ezekiel 1 is talking about God dwelling, you know, on the mercy seat, on the throne, on the cherubim. The creatures with four faces each, with four wings, like human, lion, eagle, and an oxen, the flapping on the wings, making huge sound, and the enormousness, enormousity, or however you call it, but the richness, the depth. I don't have the words to describe that, but the power, the purity that is in him. And God is always where the cherubim are. The cherubim are always where God is. They do not leave each other. So where you see cherubim, there is where the presence of God is. Where you see the presence of God is, there are the cherubim. And even greater than that is, we have direct access to God. So we kind of step over the cherubim right with him. We are with him. And the cherubim surround us as we're with him. Is that powerful? Mm-hmm. That is what holiness is. That was God, what Jesus has done for us. We have complete direct access to God. So, holiness. The glory of God, we looked at it as we looked at Ezekiel 1 a while ago. The main points that struck me about God's glory, yes, it's his power and his might and the forcefulness and the majestic of who he is, but he is love, he is slow to anger, rich in unfailing love, merciful and full of goodness and compassion. And to, you know, with all that he is, with all that majesticness, is his love that is poured out first for all. His compassion is being slow to angry and rich in love. And when we hear about God's glory, that is what I'm talking about alongside all the greatnessness and powerfulness and victory. So, great. Let's turn to Romans 8. And those who were in prayer today with me, they're privileged to know the scripture already. Probably everyone knows the scripture already. So, Romans 8, verse 26. And I will continue. So, Romans 8, 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And this is not just prayer. The Holy Spirit has been given to us in what Deborah was showing us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. So he shows us what to pray. He shows us where to walk, what to do, what to say, what not to say. He's the one who's reminding us of what God is saying to us, who we are, of our identity. The Holy Spirit is basically enabling us to walk the walk, because we cannot do that in our own strength. So not just in prayer, but generally, he is the one who's leading us, who's showing us. Verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So God knows what is going on in the heart. You know, even if we're saying things, sometimes I say things or try to make things clear, whatever, and it comes across completely the wrong way. People get the wrong end of the stick and think I'm, you know, angry at them or whatever. But God knows the heart. He doesn't, you know, He doesn't mind if when things come across. He's training us to communicate the right way. He's enabling us to do it. But he sees the heart behind it. So he sees the heart and he knows what is going on, what the Holy Spirit is saying in us, what was going on in us. And so he's looking at that. He doesn't look at our performance and how good we do. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are in harmony. And as every single one of us is led by the Holy Spirit, we are all in harmony with one another. Amen. Amen. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. So we can know that here Paul is kind of saying, or whoever wrote Romans, don't know, there is such a clarity. It's that we know that we've been called by God. We know that is kind of set in stone. That is clear. We know we're called by God and that everything that He does is working for our good. So He is a good God. The writer is coming from a perspective. We know God is good. Good. So no matter what we're doing, where we're going through, what challenges we face, God is good. So He knows God is good and everything that is happening works together for our good. And it's His purpose and not our own. who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and that might not line up with our plans and purposes and our ideas, but He has a plan and a purpose, and it's the best purpose that we can have. And when we line up with that, how blessed we are and how easy the ride will be. Because if we're not acknowledging it and trying to be someone else, trying to perform, trying to do it, doing it out of our own strength, it is just such hard work. So, 29. For God knew His people in advance. How great is that? He knew us in advance. And He chose us to become like His Son. He chose us to become like Jesus. That is what we are chosen for. We are chosen for the one purpose, to become like Jesus. To reflect Him, we are in Christ Jesus and He is in us through the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of becoming one. We are one. We are called to walk as one with Him, one unit. And He did it in advance. He knew, everything about us, the good and the bad. But He chose us because He is greater than we are. And He did that so that His Son, Jesus, would be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters, which means we are God's children. That is what this says. We are God's children. He has chosen us as His children. He has chosen us as brothers and sisters for Jesus. We are siblings with Jesus. But He is the one who's first. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And again, He called us to come to Him. We are chosen because He called us to come to Him. Over the cherubim, right with Him. There's our place. He has chosen us to come to Him. And so it's not a nice thing, He's called us. It's you know, you come here, that is where you belong. You know, there's no choice. I've called you, there's where you belong. Come here. So we are chosen to be with him, to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. Yes. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. Yes. And this is what God was saying. We are created as a body, as a people. Not just us here. Whole Norwich. Whole England. Whole Europe. The whole earth. We are called as his people to come before him, to acknowledge him, to dwell in him, to be holy, set apart, to choose to follow him wholeheartedly, to become like Jesus, to walk in that holiness, that purity, with direct access to him, coming before him day and night, wherever that we're in that place with him. A holy people. And the reason why he wants us to be a holy people is because he wants to dwell with us. We are his dwelling place. We are carriers of God's glory. His church is the carrier of God's glory. And if you know, in the temple, there was everything built according to pattern. Everything had to be perfect, completely perfect. Purified, cleansed, sprinkled with blood or with water or whatever it was. But it had to. It was all set apart. All the utensils, all the furnishing, every bit was according to pattern and perfect. And that is who we are. Perfect. According to pattern. We are acceptable, completely acceptable in his sight. We are now the Holy of Holies. That is us, as his church. And the reason, so this all is not just for us. It's great. It's like, wow, God dwelling with us. And it's incredible just to grasp all that. And I don't think anyone of us is fully there of grasping that yet, or at least I'm not. I'm growing into it. But all that has a purpose, and it is for those people who don't know him. Because as he, as we walking in that holiness, that purity of him, giving basically all the space that he needs, that he wants to radiate out of us, that is reflecting to the world, that this they will see this is not human strength. This is, you're unable to do this in your own strength, doing all this. And people see, your actions see, when you do something, children pick up on it straight away. And your hope is the positive. But that is what people see. They do not know God, but what they see are our actions, what we're saying, what we're doing. As we live holy and acknowledging his glory in us and allowing him to use us the way he wants, you know, to use us, that is how the world will see it. Suddenly it was like people get healed. People get set free. People get amazingly encouraged through a word. Suddenly there is someone, you know, who's just putting the arm around because that person just heard God say, do that, and was obedient. People, as they come in our midst, it will just set love that you know, that God's love overflowing. That is what we're created for, to reflect him. Right from the beginning, from Garden Eden, we are created in his image. That is why God is talking at the moment about holiness. Because this is on his heart, that we are people, and that is what he said that we are, to reach outwards, to be outward looking, not to be self-centered, but to be outward looking. So I want to go to scripture so that you see where you know where I'm coming from, but just scripture, because that really encouraged me. Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel. Since the last few weeks, I love it. Ezekiel, and I'm reading from. So, and we took you through how, you know, God's glory, who he is, his magnificence. Then we took you through all the idolatry that happened in the temple. So that was 2-3 weeks ago, and how sad God was about all that happening. And then we took you just quickly through how God moved out of the temple. And here, in chapter 43 of Ezekiel, the Lord's glory returns. So Ezekiel sees a vision of God's glory returning. So that is kind of the background. And I read from verse 7. The Lord said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. And that is the temple. He was talking about the temple. Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. And we can take hold of that for ourselves because we are now the temple. So son of man, this is the place. Lisa, this is the place in you where I'm enthroned. This is the place where I will rest my feet. In you, Catherine, in you, Deborah, in you, Mengi, your temple, your body, I will rest in. That is my dwelling place. Dennis and Peter, God's dwelling place is within you.
Amen.
His power, who he is flowing out of you.
Amen.
Hedley, he's resting his feet. He finds rest in you. He can rest in you. Is his resting place in you. Maureen, he's your resting place. He rests his feet in you. He is enthroned in your life. Kirsty, the same for you. God has his dwelling place in you. And he is in complete rest within you. Brenda, God is dwelling in you. He's enthroned in you. He's taking the place. His rightful place in you. Over you, Veronica. His rightful place is in you. And he has taken that place and he's filling it with every bit. Tanya, in you. You're holy. You're perfect. He's resting in you. He's dwelling in you. He's ruling and reigning from that place within you. Carol, his power, his resting place is in you. You carrying God himself. And that is what you're bringing out wherever you're going. That is what you're radiating. His glory, his power, his healing. His life, his love, his compassion. Catherine, God is dwelling in you. God's presence. And he is pleased. He's pleased with it. He loves to fill every space. It's kind of see him just wriggling around. This is my throne. Ha ha ha, it's mine. He rejoices in it. He loves it. This is what God is. That is who we are in God. We are his dwelling place. And he can rest in us. He rests his feet. I find it incredible. I will live here forever. And that is forever. For every single one, he lives in us forever. From now on, or from the years back, whatever, he lives in us from now on till eternity, and continues to live in us, to dwell in us. And then I will skip to verse 10. Son of man, describe to the people of Israel the temple I've shown you, so they will be ashamed of all their sins. Let them study its plan. And they will be ashamed of what they have done. Describe to them all the specifications of the temple, including its entrances and exits and everything else about it. Tell them about its decrees and laws. Write down all the specifications and decrees as they watch, so they will be sure to remember and follow them. What that spoke to me was, the importance of not leaving details out. We need to be clear. We need to be sharp when we're speaking, when we're declaring God's word, not withholding, not being ashamed of anything, not being afraid of anything. When we go out in the streets, speaking out the life, the reality, the wrestlings that we're having, but the victory that we're carrying from those wrestles that we're fighting, the battles that we're fighting, to make sure, you know, to watch. And it's also the watching came up a lot. Watching and listening, paying attention to what God is doing, what He is saying, and to remember where we come from, what He has done in our lives, to watch, to see what is He doing right now. To see, okay, wow, He's talking about holiness. Why is He talking about holiness? To watch, to see, to take hold, to lay hold of it. Pastor Richard was taking forcefully that laying hold of something, laying hold of what God, what is He doing? Why are things happening? And wrestling with it so that we do not forget of, you know, of His plans, of His glory, who He is, because it's so easily forgotten. To watch. And then it says in verse 12, and that was brilliant. And this is the basic law of the temple: absolute holiness. The entire top of the mountain where the temple is built is holy. Yes, this is the basic law of the temple. So the basic law of the temple is absolute holiness. And God was saying, the basic law, basics, back to basics, is holiness. For Him, there is kind of holy. There's what I've made you. Holy, there is what you are. We don't have to, in Pastor Richard, and suddenly realize Pastor Richard is talking about that like ages, and suddenly it kind of clicked. You know, that is from where we're starting. We don't have to kind of wrestle. Are we holy? Are we in the right place? What's going on? That is what God expects. That is who we are in His sight. That's what He expects of us, that this is the place where we're starting. So this is the basic. Holiness, the setting apart, that we enter into His presence. That is basic. That is what we're standing on. And on that, everything else is built.
That's right. Yeah.
That is basically, you know, when we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that, or on the chair, or however you want to call it. That is basic for Him. And I realized how much I wrestle with just the idea, oh, I'm holy, and kind of remind myself again and again, I'm holy. I'm, you know, I'm accepted by God. And that's where it's like we have to remember that it's important for us, you know, to tell us again and again, to take hold of it, because it's easily forgotten. But for God, that is the starting point. We're holy. So, you know, stuff sorted. Come on, get over it. You know, it's like leave all that stuff. You know, you're holy. You don't have to, you know, go round and round. So you're holy. That is where I see you and how I see you. So, good. Are you there? Have you caught up with me? Yes? Holy. Good. Let's start then. Look, I have that to do for you. Oh, yes, I have that to do. You're holy. So, you know, there is, I'm with you because you're holy. I'm within you. I'm dwelling with you. So, dwelling in you. So there is nothing impossible because you're holy. So, you know, you can move those mountains. You can speak against these things because you're holy. I'm with you and I'm the one who's enabling you. Yeah? So it's kind of basic, back to basics. It's like, basic. Okay, good. So kind of understanding that this is basic for God. Loads of catching up to do, yeah? Well, at least me. And then also, the entire top of the mountain where the temple is built is holy. And then as it was through the short course, palm trees, cherubim, glory of God, I think it is. Yeah, so do it. It's great. That's where all that stuff comes from. Brilliant. This is on the mountaintop. Mountaintop is talking about being set apart. You know, mountaintop is not equal with everything else, but it's set apart. Yeah. Boom. There's who we are. So His temple is set apart. We're set apart. We're set apart people. Also from that higher place, you see. You're able to see. You're able to discern, especially for those, you know, everyone is called to pray. Yeah? So, from that place up there, you see what you need to pray, what you're taking authority over, what is going on. From that place, you discern what God is doing at the moment. From that place, you know where to go. You see the road in front of you as you then walk through the valleys of shadow and death. From up there, you can see where you're going, and therefore you can be sure-footed as you walk through the valleys. Yeah, so there's also mountain. And also the air is just so clean. There is a peace. There is quiet. Usually you don't have like tons of cars driving around, tooting their horns and zebra crossings and things being built. Because who builds on a mountain? You know, cause, yeah, it's too difficult. You know. But that is what, you know, That is where there's peace and quiet, where we can, there's the place where we can dwell with God in that rest and being re-strengthened. And that's where God calls us again and again to, you know, to see us holy. Yeah. In that place of rest. But a place of where we can breathe. A place where we can see. And I know sometimes it seems like we can't see. I find that. Sometimes I feel like I can't see it too much. It's like, and I don't know. But if I believe, that's where God has put me. And I'm just taking one step at a time. I can walk sure-footed. And I, you know, there is the strength in trusting his leading. And he will guide me through that, even though it feels like I'm unable to see, but he does, because he's set me on that mountaintop. I am holy. So, and then, obviously, I wrote points down, because Ezekiel 47, and that is what we would, also had this morning, and I want to add a bit to it. So it was, everyone knows the river, you know, for those who weren't there this morning, we talked about the river and how that man with the measuring, who measured everything, he turns up quite a lot in Ezekiel. He's measuring all sorts of things, and he's measuring the water. And he leads Ezekiel in that vision through the water, crossing the water, and it's first ankle deep, then it goes knee deep, then it goes waist deep, and then at the end it's too deep to walk in it. You can't cross it, you have to swim. That's what one thing that God was saying. As we are his holy people, so we have everything that we need, we are holy, we have direct access to God, therefore his glory dwells amongst us. Yeah. But then he wants us to move out, because that is not where we're staying. He wants us to bring it out to the world. That is what we're called to. We're not keeping that stuff for us, these things, you know. These riches, this excitement, this life has to be shared, and it has to go out. Yeah. So we're not staying there. So we're, and therefore the challenge for us is really to, wherever we are, at, if we're just standing on the side of the river, or if we're ankle deep, or if we're knee deep, or if we're waist deep, or if we are feeling we're drowned, and see that God is leading us and carrying us, and you know, wherever we are in this passage, that we're not stop moving, but that we're stepping out. And in prayer we had that thing to not be comfortable, you know, where we are at, but being comfortable in the uncomfortable. So to kind of, that we get used to being uncomfortable, and because we can trust God that he's leading us. We can trust God that no matter how deep it is, no matter how less control I have about things, he has us, he has me. So to trust him, to constantly, when we feel, oh, I think I'm settling a bit, it starts getting easier. Okay, God, what is the next step then? So bring it on, and you know, just about coping with it now. So what is the next thing, so that I'm stop coping, so that I'm, you know, walking from strength to strength in your enabling. And God was saying, Zach, this season again, do not start settling. Don't settle. And I know he has said that previous times before. And it's again, this season, do not settle. Move forward. Don't get comfortable. Move forward. Whatever the next step is. And we've done this partly this morning. If you haven't been there this morning, really take that time with God. Okay, what is the next step? What do you want me to step into next? And once you get comfortable with that, or start feeling kind of an ease in it, then ask God for the next. Don't wait too long, no, because otherwise he might go, yeah, and that might be even less uncomfortable. Comfortable, I mean, so, yeah. Good, but then there... And that is what I loved as I was reading it. Verse 7. When I turned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure." There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its water will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. And that you, when you see Garden Eden, how God created Garden Eden, it was perfect. Every tree was fruitful constantly. You could eat from every fruit except of that one tree. But from any other tree, you could eat constantly. There was not a season where it bore fruit or another season where it was flowering. And you know, no, constantly. It was constantly bearing fruit, the richness of it, the abundance. It talks about the teeming of the water. The water was teeming. It was full of life. Everything in the creation was full of life. And here Ezekiel sees that fullness of life again. Amen. But then, even better than that, is verse 10. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Engedi to Engelaim, and shores will cover with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as it filled the Mediterranean. And I love that. The fishermen stand there. So we are filled with, you know, we are holy people. We are filled with God's glory. And now we are reaching out. We are not allowing just the evangelists to cast the nets out, or the pastors to bring the word, or the anointed worship leader to lead the worship. We're casting out our own nets. We own taking responsibility. Our own nets, no matter how they look like. They might be pink, they might be black, they might be red, they might be round, or they might be rectangular, or they might be square. It doesn't matter. Whatever God has given us. Amen. But we are there to cast out our nets, to be the fishermen, and to take hold of the area that God has given us, the region where we're meant to be, to cast out the nets and to bring in the fish, and to share about their glory, about their holiness, about who God is, and the richness that we have in him. So we are not the people who settle, we are people who are moving forward because we have the richness of God living in us, and that needs to be shared. And it says in Ephesians 2, you know that scripture as well. Let me find Ephesians. So which scripture is it? Praise God for Maureen. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. Yeah. So, Dennis, can you read it out, please?
We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. And that is what we've done. You know, we are created as his workmanship. He's doing all the work. He's, you know, refining us, pointing stuff out that needs to be dealt with. And we obey and walk in holiness. Therefore, you know, getting holier and holier with every step that we're taking. But we are his workmanship, created for good works. So not just his workmanship and cool, enjoy the ride, you know, while God is dealing with stuff. No, but we are created for good works. To go out, to cast those nets out, to take responsibility. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
okay, wait, I'll do that. Following on. Cool.